you remember, right? I know that you remember. I preached a message from the parable of the prodigal son titled The Losses of the Lost Son. The Losses of the Lost Son. And I showed you in that message six things that the lost son lost whenever he made his decision to leave his father's house and go to the far country. And whenever I ended the message, this young man, this son, was in a desperate situation. His foolish decision to leave his father's house and journey into the far country eventually led to him being in a desperate situation. From what we read here, we see that he went from bad to worse and ended up slopping hogs and perishing with hunger. That's what we find here in the Word of God. But thanks be unto God, his story does not end in a pig pen. I don't know about you folk, but I love stories and books and movies that have a happy ending. To me, there is nothing worse than to read a book or watch a movie or hear a story that has a bad ending. I hate that with everything in me. I love to read a story that has a happy ending. And the story of this lost son, praise the Lord, has a happy ending. Yes, it begins on kind of a sour note, but it ends with great joy and jubilation and things being completely reversed in this young man's life. And that's really what I want to deal with this morning in a second message that I'm going to preach from this parable titled Looking for the Lost Son. Looking for the Lost Son. And to lay a foundation for what will eventually be the main part of the message, I want to show you three things that I believe led to the restoration of a rebellious son who squandered away his father's substance with riotous living. And the first thing I want you to notice with me is there in verse number 17. And what I see in verse number 17 that helped bring about this son's restoration is a realization of the horrible mess he was in. The Bible says in verse number 17, and when he came to himself, that means he finally woke up. He finally came back to reality from this horrible stupor and life of deception that he had been leading. He finally wakes up and realizes what's going on in his life. It says, and when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare? They got enough to eat and even have some leftovers, and they're just the hired servants. And here I am, a son of the Father, and I am perishing with hunger. That's what he says in verse 17. This is a fellow who finally realized the horrible mess he was in. He realized what a mess he was in, and he also realized how much better things were back at the Father's house. And that's the first thing I believe that brought about the restoration of this young man. But there's a second thing I see there in verses 18 and 19. And that's not only a realization, but secondly, I see a repentant attitude. A repentant attitude. He doesn't just wake up. He doesn't just come to himself and realize the mess he's in and think that he needs to stay there. His attitude changes at this point. And I can tell you that adversity and hardship, especially that we bring upon ourselves, sometimes helps shake us back into reality where we realize that we have made a mess out of things and done a whole lot of stuff we had no business doing in the first place. And I think that is what happens here. Look at verse 18. I will arise and go to my father. He doesn't say, I know I've messed up and I'm just going to stay here in the pig pen. He says, I will arise and go to my father. That is a repentant attitude. A man who's going to make a change, not just stay where he is. Some people wake up and they realize they've made a mess, but then they don't ever repent. They don't ever decide to do anything to change their situation. But this young man says, I will arise. I'm not going to stay here in this pig pen anymore. I'm tired of the far country. I'm going back where I know I should never have lived and where I really belong. I will arise and go to my father. And notice, will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. Was that the truth? Absolutely. He had sinned against heaven, which, by the way, is the greater crime. The greatest crime is when you sin against God. But he acknowledges the fact that he had sinned against heaven and before his Father. Not only had he done God wrong, he had done his father wrong. And here is a young man who admits that. And he says, I'm going to go back and this is what I'm going to say to my father. I'm going to tell him also, verse 19, that I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. Just make me as one of thy hired servants. I have those words circled in my Bible, the words make me. I also have the words give me back in verse 12. Y'all remember when the story starts out? He comes to his father and he says, give me. Give me. Come with a handout. Give me, give me, give me, give me. Now he's coming back home and he's saying, make me. Change of an attitude here. Attitude adjustment. I see a repentant attitude. That is the second thing that brought about the restoration that we are going to see in this young man's life. But here's a third thing that I want us to see, verse number 20. First, there's a realization, then there's a repentant attitude, and then finally, there is a return to his father. The Bible says in verse number 20, and he arose and came to his father. He goes back home. He goes back to his father. He goes back to his family. He goes back to that place where he never should have left to start with. So whenever he said in verse 18, I will arise and go to my father, he's not just blowing smoke, he's not just talking. I don't know about you, but I will admit to you, there's been a many a time in my life where I've said I'm going to do such, 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 and I never did it. Just talking. Or we say things like, well, if so-and-so did that to me, this is what I would do, and then they do it and we don't. Y'all know what I'm talking about. We do a lot of smoke blowing, a lot of things we're going to do, and we never do those things. But here was a fellow who said, I'm going to do something, and he actually did it. He said, I will arise and go to my father. He's not like some Christians who get out of shape with God and say, well, I'm going to start going back to church. I'm going to start reading my Bible. I'm going to get the stuff in my life right that I need to, and then never do it. This was a man who genuinely had a repentant attitude, and he said, I'm going to do something to change my situation, and then he did it. He got up, and he went back to his father. Those three things brought about the restoration that you see in the remainder of these verses. But here's the thing that I really want you to focus on for the message. Verse 20, and he arose and came to his father. Then notice it says, but when he was yet, I love this, a great way off. He's still a long way from the house. He's heading in that direction. But he's still a long way from the house. It says, when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Folks, you know what that means? That means that man was looking for his son. He was looking for him. And I have no doubt, even though it doesn't say it here in the text, and I want to be careful saying something the Bible doesn't actually say, but just being a father myself and interacting with other people who are parents, I believe every day that he was able, that man went out and looked down that road to see if he could just get a glimpse of his boy heading back home. And here's the thing that I see here is that this father, even though his son was a long way off, and even though he didn't look anything like he did when he left. Now, y'all have to bear in mind, some time has elapsed here in this young man's life. I don't know how long. I don't know if it was months, years. I don't know, but what I do know is some time has elapsed. And when he left the far country, he did not have anything. He had wasted all of his substance with riotous living. No man's helped him out. He winds up slopping hogs and being willing to eat what the hogs were eating just so he wouldn't starve to death. Here is a boy that did not look anything like he did when he left. He's coming home and he's still got the stench of the pig pen on him. He does not look like this man's son, but he still recognized him. Even though it was a long way off and he didn't look anything like his boy when he left, he still recognized, that is my son, and he's coming home. That's a parent thing. Those of you that are parents, you understand what I'm talking about. When you have a child, you just know them. You can have a room full of young'uns. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You can have a room full of young'uns, and if your child cries, I'm talking about racket and noise, young'uns crying all over, but if your young'un cries, you know that's your young'un, don't you? I remember when Matthew was real little, he was a baby, he had to have a tube put in one of his ears, and just a simple procedure. I've had that done a number of times, but when you're a little child like that, it's a scary thing being around people in a strange environment. But I remember they came and they got him and they took him down that hall, and it was, oh man, it'd like to kill me. I was standing in front of that door and that nurse is walking down that hall and he's on her shoulder looking back at me crying, saying, "Daddy, Daddy." I like to died right there. But we went back, my wife and I went back to the room. We're sitting in there and we're talking, you know, just waiting on them to bring him back or somebody to come tell us everything went all right. And we're talking, there's racket, there's noise, and they were bringing him back, and I heard him. Amidst all the racket and the noise, I said, "That's my son crying." And I jumped up and I ran down there, and somebody was fixing to give me my boy. You know what I'm talking about? But out of all the racket, I knew that's my son right there. That's just a parent thing. This father's looking down that road, and even though he's a long way off and he's nasty and he's dirty, he ain't got hardly nothing on, he said, "That's my boy, and he's coming home." He saw him coming down that road. And here's some things that I want to address this morning in the remainder of this message, as we think about looking for the lost son. Four things that I want to address. Number one, I want to say first of all that this father was looking for his son because he wanted him to come home. He wanted him to come home. This wasn't a father who was there hoping his son would never return. This was a father who wanted, in spite of how he had basically spat in his father's face, had taken what his daddy had worked so hard for and went off and blew it and wasted it on a bunch of wicked, ungodly living. In spite of all that, his father was there at home just wanting his son to come back. That's why he would go out and look down that road every day, because he wanted his son to come home. Can I tell you this morning, and I'm sure you already know it, that our Father wants people to come to Him. Our Father wants people to come to Him. When I read in the Bible, I see it throughout the Scripture, back in Isaiah chapter 1 and verse number 18, a favorite passage of mine. This is what God says to His people. He says, "Come now," not later. He says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as wool." He says, "Come now." You get in the New Testament, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Jesus Christ says this. He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." John chapter 7, verse number 37, Jesus said this. He said, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17, right at the end of your Bible. I'm talking about the final invitation in the Word of God is this. The Spirit and the bride say what? Come. And let him that is athirst come. And here it is. And whosoever will, let him come. That is the final invitation in the Word of God. When God wraps his book up, the most wonderful book that has ever been written or ever shall be written, the inspired Word of God, when God decides that he's going to wrap this whole thing up, you know what he does? He ends by letting us know he wants people to come to him. That's what our Father desires. He obviously wants lost people to come. He wants unsaved people to come to him the only way they can come, and that's through faith in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. It is the Lord who said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Listen, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. The only way that a lost person can get to the Father is through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that is what the Father wants. That is why he sent his Son, Jesus Christ. Because he's not willing that any should perish, listen, but that all should come to repentance. He wants lost people to come. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ, let me say, the Father wants you to come. He wants you to trust his Son and come to him and have that relationship that will be an eternal relationship. But not only does he want lost people to come, really this is more the context of the message, he wants saved people to come. He won't save people who, like this son, have gone off into that far country and made a mess out of their lives to come back to him. That's what he desires. Do you understand this morning that God loves his children? You understand that? He loves his children unconditionally, and he wants them, every single one of his children, he wants them at home with him. That's what he wants. He doesn't want us out pining away in the far country, wasting our lives on a bunch of nonsense that doesn't matter, that in the end is only going to bring death and destruction in our lives. That's not what our Father wants from us. He doesn't want us living off the slop that the world and the devil offers us. That's not what he wants. He wants us at home with him. He doesn't want us miserable and sad and depressed because of the mess we've made. That's exactly how it was. That old boy, we talked about it last week. He may have had fun for a while, but things turned. They took a turn for the worse. And I can promise you, when he's out there slopping the hogs and starving to death, he's not happy anymore. He's miserable. He's miserable, and there's a lot of saved people that have went out in that far country and they've made a mess, and they're miserable, and the good news that I wish all of them could hear and know is that their Father's just waiting on them to come back home. That's what he wants. He don't want them to stay out there. And you hear people say, well, Brother Keith, you don't know how far away I've gone. Let me remind you that this boy didn't go to the near country. You hear what I'm saying? The Bible says he went to the far country. He didn't just get a little bit of a distance between him and his father. He went a long way away from his father. And there's saved people in this world. Hey, I was one of them at a certain point in my life. Some of you have been down that same road. But there's saved people who have left the Father's house, and I mean they're way out there today. They're a long way from their father. But hallelujah, the Father still wants them to come back home. I'm so thankful this morning that our Father loves us unconditionally, and that if we're willing to return, he wants us to come. That's what he desires. But here's a second thing I want to address this morning about looking for the lost son. Not only that the Father wanted him to come home, but a second thing I want to talk about is compassion. The great compassion that is demonstrated here by this father to his son. Look in verse number 20. The Bible says, and he arose and came to his father, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Look at it. And had compassion. He sees him coming. Sees how he looks. And he has compassion. He doesn't have anger. He doesn't have bitterness. He doesn't have resentment toward his son. He had compassion on his son. I'm not insinuating in any way that the father was pleased with what his son had done. Obviously he wasn't. And I'm not saying that there is ever an excuse for us to do wrong. Amen. And I'm not saying that it doesn't hurt the Lord. Obviously it does. But the fact is, God's not sitting up there looking down hoping that we'll stay away and that we'll be destroyed in the miserable mess that we've made. He wants us to come back. And if we'll come back, you know what he'll do? He'll have compassion on us. That's what he did for this son. He had compassion. The Bible says, look at it, he ran. He didn't sit up there on his porch rocking with an old scowl on his face, just, well, I can't wait till he gets here. I'm going to let him have it. Man, he took off running. Wasn't that beautiful? Just running after that boy. Running down that road to meet him. He gets to him, and when he gets there, he doesn't begin to preach him a sermon. He doesn't begin to lambast him and talk bad to him and talk down to him and remind him of how he had left and made a mess out of himself. Look here, what you've come back like. Where's my stuff? What did you do with my stuff that I gave you? None of that. He ran, the Bible says, and he fell on his neck and he kissed him. Stinking and all, nasty and all, he just wraps him up in his arms and begins to kiss him. Compassion he shows to him. The son begins in verse 21 to tell his father what he said he was going to tell him. But I think right in the middle of it, or before he could get through anyway, his father just interrupts that whole thing. Verse 22, but the father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe. Do you notice there's not one mention there of the father about anything that the boy did? Not one mention. He doesn't say anything about any of it. The boy says, I've sinned against heaven, against you. I'm not worthy to be your son. And the father just says, servants, I got something I need you to do. He doesn't say anything about what the boy did. He says to his servants, bring forth the best robe. He had literally lost the coat off of his back. He's just coming back with a few rags on his body. That's all he's got left. That's what sin will do for you, by the way. It'll take everything you got and leave you. That's what it'll do. You know the old saying, sin always takes you farther than you want to go, keeps you longer than you want to stay, and costs you a whole lot more than you want to pay. That's what sin will do for you. But this young man comes back to his father, and his father says, get the best robe. Look at that, the best robe. Don't just get a robe, go in there and get the very best one we got. The very best robe, and put that on him. And then it says, put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. He didn't even have any shoes. But his father says, put some shoes on his feet. And here, verse 23, and bring hither the fatted calf and kill it. There's some people in the world who would read that and have a problem with that verse. All these vegans and vegetarians. Do you know he did not say bring forth the fatted vegetable tray? The fatted calf. Now, let me tell you something. I like vegetables as much as anybody, but I like me some meat with my vegetables. I like meat cooked in my vegetables. Know what I mean? Throw some ham or ham hock or something in it, some bacon, put some kind of meat in there. He said, bring forth or bring hither the fatted calf, and then all these animal lovers, they'll really like this, and kill it. Kill it. Bring the fatted calf, the one we've kept up in the stall, fattening him up, for a special occasion. That's what the fatted calf was. It was one that was put aside and fattened up for a special occasion, for a great time of celebration. And he says, bring that fatted calf out here and kill it. Do you see the compassion that the father shows to this son? That's what the father wants to do for his children that are out in the far country now. This man instantly reassured him of his love and restored him to a favorable condition. He didn't put any criteria on it at all. No strings attached. As soon as he saw his son come back, which was what he was supposed to do, when he came back and came back with a repentant attitude, the father immediately restored him to a favorable condition. You know how simple it is for somebody who's out in the far country to get back where they need to be? It's just as simple as them leaving that far country and coming back to their father with a repentant attitude. It's just that simple. You could be sitting in this building here today, a long way from God. I'll tell you how easy it is. It's just as easy as when we have that invitation. You making your way down to an old-fashioned altar and making things right with the Lord. It's just that simple. I'm not saying that you won't have some hangover, that there won't be some things that you have to reap. Matter of fact, I tell you, there will be. There'll be some things that you'll have to deal with in the years to come because of what you've done. But I'm talking about as far as you and your father being right. It's just that simple. He'll show you compassion right away. You won't have to pray through and hang on. He'll show you compassion, and he'll restore you to a favorable condition right away. Here's a third thing. Not only did his father want him to come, and not only did his father show him compassion, but I'll tell you another reason why he wanted his boy to come home, and that was communication. Communication. You know something this father missed when his son left? He just missed being able to see him and talk to him every day. Just talk to him. Just have fellowship with his son. You folks in here that have children and things are the way they should be between you and your children, don't you love to talk to them? You love it when they call you or they stop by or come in from out of town. You love to see them come because you just want to talk to them, right? You just enjoy the communication. And that's something that our Father desires. I think back to the very beginning of this whole thing when he creates Adam and Eve. Do you know one reason why he made man? I'm not saying the only reason, but one thing that caused him to make man and put him there in that garden, one thing that he enjoyed doing with Adam, you know what it was? Just communication with him. The Bible talks about how he would come down in the cool of the day. Have a little talk with Adam. Just communicate. The father loves to communicate with his children. And that's one reason why he wants any of his children that are out in the far country to come back. He just wants to hear from them. Wants to talk to them. Wants them to talk to him and him to talk to them. Communication between them. Here's the last thing I want to address. And that is celebration. You think about this boy coming back. Man, you know what they had? They had a celebration. He tells them to get that fatted calf, to kill it. Look at verse 23. And let us eat and be merry. Let's have a celebration. Let's have a party. Let's have a get together. Let's just rejoice and have a good time because this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. And they began to be merry, the Bible says. Celebration. I told you last week when I started out this sermon, these two sermons, that you have three parables in this chapter. You have the one about the sheep, the silver, and the sons. And I told you that one of the main points of all of these parables, one of the main points was to show how heaven and its inhabitants respond whenever a single sinner comes to the Father. And let me show you this, and we're going to be done. Look back up in this chapter, verse number 4. Jesus says, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he lose one of them, doth not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he find it? And when he hath found it, he layeth it on his shoulders. Look at it. Rejoicing. And when he cometh home, he calleth together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost. Come over and celebrate with me. I found that one lost sheep. Come over and celebrate. Look at verse 7. Jesus says, I say unto you that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repenteth more than over 99 just persons which need no repentance. Look at verse 8. Either what woman having 10 pieces of silver, if she lose one piece, doth not light a candle and sweep the house and seek diligently till she find it. And when she hath found it, she calleth her friends and her neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I had lost. Likewise, I say unto you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repenteth. You read the story of the lost son. As soon as he gets back home, there's a celebration. The Lord is trying to show us in these parables how he and all of heaven feels when just one wayward child comes back home. You want to make the Lord happy today? You want to make them, and I don't mean this in any way disrespectful, you want to make them have a party in heaven today? If you're here this morning and not right with the Lord, you just get right with the Lord. Whether lost or saved, it makes no difference. If you get saved, I promise you, they'll be rejoicing in heaven. You out in the far country as a child of God this morning, you come back home, they'll be rejoicing in heaven. There'll be a party in heaven over one sinner that repents. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, we come to you again this morning with grateful hearts, thankful to be here. Lord, I am so thankful Lord, when I think about where I was, where I could be, but where I am today. Lord, if there's anybody here today that's wandered so far away, help them to come back. If there's a lost person in this building, help them to come to you through your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name I pray. Amen. Amen. Let's stand together.